We're entitling this Arrows, and this is a series where we're going to be building an acronym and taking Arrows and turning it into an acronym, and every week we're going to give a word for each of these letters that will help us raise the children that are in our life. Now, there are a couple categories of people that are going to be here today, and every one of us might fit one of these, and if I leave one out, please don't be offended if I leave you out, but there are many of us here that are have young kids, and your parents, your new parents, you're maybe like me, my kids haven't even reached middle school, and so some parents look at me and go, man, you haven't even been tested yet. And so I want you guys, we need to lean into this series. This is specifically for us, and I want us to lean in together for those of us that have young kids. Then there's some others that your kids are maybe older, they're getting into college, or maybe that you're here and you go, man, I've just made some mistakes, and I can't go back, and I wish I could go back and do it differently. And I wish I could go back and I could raise them differently, or I wish I could do something differently just so they could turn out differently. I want you to think about, if that's you, I don't want you to think that you can, that it's too late to start over, or it's too late to do something different. I want you to lean in on the next couple weeks, and I want you to see this and not feel like there's any condemnation or any judgment on the fact that maybe you wanted it to be different, but I want you to lean in on this. And then there's a group of people that many of us are, and these are the empty nesters, that your kids are growing up, you're gone, they're gone. Or you've gone, you've left, and they're raising their family, and you now get the grandparent stage where you get to spoil and dessert. And not dessert like you get to eat, but the dessert like you get to leave. And you're in that point that you can spoil them, you get to, in your different season. I want you to lean in here, too. And then there's some of us that this is a painful series to even know about, that we're talking about this, because maybe in your passion and desires with maybe you and your spouse, that you've wanted to have children and you can't. And I understand that, but I don't want this to be a reason for you to avoid coming in the next couple weeks. In fact, I ask you to take a step of courage and to lean into this. And for some of you that are here, and maybe this series might kind of stir some emotions in you because you've maybe lost a child, because family can be powerful and painful at the same time. And maybe through something in the past, you've lost a child, and I want you to lean in too. And then there's another category of people, and you just don't like kids. I'm so glad you're here. I really want us all to lean in on this series, and I don't want you to feel like this is something that doesn't impact you. In fact, my whole goal is that we see ourselves as an arrow by the end of today's teaching, and that we are taking advantage and specifically using them properly and using the children in our life. And this series is one that's directing to build a strong family. We at Westside Family Church have a value here that determines what we do. And one of our five values here is that we will build strong families. And that's why we do children's ministry the way we do it. That's why we encourage you to do it. As a parent, we want you to get involved in leading in here, because when they see you leading in here, it builds your family and it makes you stronger. It helps you as a parent elevate the value. See, write this in your notes. See, I believe the family is the most important institution on earth. When God created everything and he put man and woman together on this planet and he gave them this command to be fruitful and multiply, what God started there was the first institution, in my opinion. And this was the most important institution that has influenced all mankind. Ronald Reagan said this, and he made this statement in his State of the Union address in 1985, and I know I was only 6 years old when he made this. And I, through research, I've seen this and I've heard this, and maybe he wasn't the originator of this quote, but he's the one that got, he was the one that it's attributed to. And he said this, "So goes the family. So goes our civilization. As the family goes, so does our civilization." And it's not as the government goes, or as the economy goes, or as schooling and education goes. It's the family. It's the family. It is the most powerful institution, I believe, on this earth, because it's in the family that we get to experience the pain, we get to experience the power of it, and we get to experience the pleasure. See, all of these things are wrapped up in the family. It's the first environment where children are instilled and they get this sense of belonging. It's in the family that we get to, they get the first picture, in my opinion, of who God is. It's through the family. It's through us as parents who get this honor and this privilege and the blessing of being parents. It's through that we shape how they see God. And whether that you think is fair or not, that is really how it is. Because think about yourself. A lot of the baggage that you might have with who God is might have been through the experience you shared with a parent. And maybe the good things, I'm grateful that my parents shaped me and the way I see God was really in a good way through their influence on my life. See, it's in the family that we have the power to instill values into our kids. And that's why we want, listen to me, and this is so important that you get this, especially if you're part of Westside Family Church. In our culture here, we don't want you to bring your kids here so we teach you. So we teach them the biblical values. We want to partner with you because you are the one that models and sets those values and those principles and those God-fearing behaviors in your kids. It's not us. We reinforce it, what's in your home. And this is why we're going to do this series, because we want to empower you. As we want to empower you, regardless of where you are on the parenting spectrum, or regardless of where you are, you have kids that you influence. You might be a teacher here today, and your kids may be long gone, but you're still teaching in some level, and there are kids in your influence. I want you to see that this is something that impacts you. And maybe you're a coach here today, or maybe you're here and you've got a neighbor, and you just don't like kids, but you got a neighbor kid that lives two doors down. You've got influence because you got proximity. And I want you to see yourself in this. There is so much power in the family. There's so much power in our opportunity to raise children. And also, unfortunately, there's a lot of pleasure in it. Not unfortunate, that's fortunate. I misspoke. There's a lot of pleasure in it. And maybe if you remember, if you can remember, when you held your first baby and or one of your children, and the pleasure. Even as a mom and as a guy, I say this respectfully, that I don't get the pain in that, but in the pain, you hold the baby, and there's so much pleasure, something you can't describe, something you can't, that are in, like language can't really put it into words well. But there's also so much pain in a family, because the people sometimes that we love the most are the ones that leave the deepest wounds. And sometimes the ones that we care the most about are the ones that hurt us and bring the most heartbreak. So in this series, this is what I'd like us to commit to. Would you commit that you will be here or be watching this week? We would rather you be here because we talked about community last week. And I want you to just make a commitment that we will together come as 5 out of the 6 or watch all of them online so we as a church can raise the kids in our life and build stronger families. That I will take my responsibility as whatever aspect in my family, whatever responsibility I have in my family, that I will take that and I will make that influential. I will make an impact with the influence that I have. And so this is what I want to ask you. Would you commit to that in the next 6 weeks as we take this arrows and this acronym, and we build on it every week, and you get an idea on, hopefully at the end of this, of how you can build a stronger family. And my hope in this is that for some of you that you feel like your home was, it might be broken, that you can start to see God's power restore. That for some of you that you feel like maybe there's so much water under the bridge and you maybe have messed up and you wish you had a second chance, it's not too late to start over yourself and feel like there's a fresh start, that you can find healing in this for yourself and for your family and the relationships there, but that we can together build strong families. And here's a serious big idea that we're going to be talking about over the next couple weeks. Write this in your notes. Is that raising children with eternity in mind brings clarity to how we live toward the target. Raising children with eternity in mind. Because we realize that life is just not now. As Christ followers, people who look through a scriptural perspective through how Jesus teaches, we realize that today is not the most important thing. It's eternity that matters. And raising children with that perspective, that with, like, if we use the words of Stephen Covey, to begin with the end in mind, that we will raise our children with the end goal. And we're going to look at today what that end goal is. That we can do this, and so we live toward the target. And here's the thing, is a lot of times we want to bring our kids to church because we want the church to impact our kids. We want the church to teach them those values. But this is my challenge to you. I want to challenge you, and specifically by the end of today's teaching, how are you living? Because how you live sets the aim for the children and the trajectory that their kids will be set on. And what is that target? What's that bullseye for you? We're going to be taking this series after, and what inspired the series, it's not my own, it's by a pastor up in Montana, and good things do come from Montana other than big game, and his name is Levi Lusco, and he preached a series on arrows, and he's the one that is the originator of this acronym, and I want to give him credit in this so you don't think I'm that smart, because I'm not that. And I want to give him credit to this. He made this statement in his series. See, we parent, and I would add, we raise children regardless of where we are in the parenting spectrum. We raise children with eternity in mind. We raise children, he said specifically, on the edge of eternity. That we need to have this perspective. Just as I'm at the edge of the stage, I need to realize that it's not here, but we have the forefront. We have what is in front of us is eternity. That we need to see the responsibility that we have to parent and raise children with the perspective of eternity in mind. And the beautiful thing is that we can join Jesus in this. And you might not feel equipped, but God is equipped to raise our kids because he's the one that's the original designer. And in Scripture, we have a psalm that we're going to take this out of, and this is going to be the bed that we're going to take everything out of as foundation for this series. And Psalms 127, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me, and let's read this together. We're going to look at the whole chapter today to kind of set the foundation. He says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand and watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children, he says, are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward." Everybody say, "a reward."
A reward.
That is a good thing. Offspring, children, are a reward from him. And then he says this, "Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." See, children are powerful, powerful arrows. An arrow is something that we really, it's not like we have one of these in every home, and unless you're like several of my friends who love bow hunting. My dad was a bow hunter, but I didn't grow up with an arrow in everyday life. And see, the author of this scripture did. The author of this scripture was King Solomon. And many of you know King Solomon's dad was King David. He was a warrior. He was someone who knew the art of war. He knew what it was like to battle. He knew that it was necessary. And we don't live in a country or a culture, thankfully, gratefully, where arrows are part of our survival, where we need arrows to hunt. I've got a bow up here. Actually, this is a unique bow right here. This bow is a hunting bow that hunts for fish. I didn't even know that existed. That you can go fishing with this. It even has a reel. Look at this. How fancy. See, bows back then and arrows back then, it was multiple purposes. I mean, it was provision for the family. This was that if you had a good hunter in the family, you were secure because you knew that you wouldn't lack food. But also, it was a way that you would protect. It's a way you would attack those that you were protecting yourself from. See, this was war then. And this is the point I want to make out of this. See, raising children is a war. Write that in. It's a war. Many of you already know the war because you've sent your kids off to school and you know the battles they face every day, especially the girls that as we send them off, and we just sent my kindergartner, my girl off, and she just started kindergarten this week. And you know what? I realize that when I send her off, I am the warrior. And she is being sent out into a war. That our kids are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And a lot of times how we view them, right, this end determines how we raise them. And the author of the scripture wanted you to know that that arrow that's in your under your influence, whether it's a child in your home that you're raising or someone else's child that you have influence over or a neighbor's child that you can influence too, that arrow is like an arrow in your hand. And how you view that arrow is going to determine how you raise that child. And also that how you view that arrow and how you view children, a lot of times comes through our own perspective of ourselves. It's how we view ourselves. And a lot of times we feel like we can raise our kids in one way. I want you to do what I'm not doing. You know, you do what I say, not as I live, do, you know. We say, don't make the mistakes I'm doing right now. You live differently. Okay. We kind of justify ourselves, but we need to elevate even our own perspective because you and I, we're an arrow being shot. And every metaphor breaks down. We get to choose whether or not we will live toward the bullseye. See, and this is what I want you to understand. See, you and I, we live toward the bullseye that we want our children to hit. And today, we're going to look at the bullseye. Today, we're going to paint the target of the bullseye that we want every child to hit. See, there's a bullseye. And the bullseye really is what every archer sets his aim on. No good archer is going just to aim for a target and say, hey, I want to hit the target. They aim for the bullseye. And if they aim for the bullseye, they will hit and they'll learn to hit the target. So today my question is to you, what's your bullseye? What's the bullseye that you are living toward? That you are raising your kids toward? What's the bullseye that you are? Do you even view your kids like an arrow? Do you even view this as a war for your kids? And do you see the opportunity that you have in the life that you live and the opportunity you have to shape them, regardless if they're your own or they're others, that you have a responsibility? And the responsibility is great. Jesus said this in when he was teaching. He said, and he's got all the kids around. He goes, hey, be careful. It'd be better off for you if, and this is bad, in strong language, that a millstone be tied around your neck and you cast down into water, than you to make one of these little ones to stumble. And when he was talking to them, they could have been their kids. They could have been the responsibility that we have to the kids under our influence. And we need to know exactly how we live, because how we live determines how they live. And you and I need to live toward the target that we want our children, regardless of whether or not they're ours, to hit the bullseye. So in this, I want us to paint the target today. I want us to paint and see what we're aiming for. And in order to know that, it's interesting in the targets that they have different colors of the rings. You know why? It's to help you see the bullseye. And so I want to help you see the bullseye by painting the target. And the first thing I want us to paint today is know this, that children bear the image of God and are entrusted to us by God. We have to understand that children bear the image of God. Our children, even though they might be born in decisions, and there might be someone that you know that had a child, and man, you wish they wouldn't have had that scenario or been in that relationship that had a child, that child is not a mistake from God. Children bear the image of God. That there is something in every child, regardless of what, how overactive they are, or underactive they are, or overcreative, or undercreative, or what they look like. Every child bears the image that God, in His design, in His sovereignty, He allows, and He shapes, and He puts in, and He gives purpose. And that purpose is, there's a reflection of Himself in that child. And you and I, in order to see the bullseye, we need to first understand that every child bears the image of God. That's what Genesis 3 says. In the image of God, God created man and woman. And He didn't just stop there. Every child that is born bears His all-powerful nature. That who knows, the one that could have the ability to cure cancer could be born. And that's from the power of an almighty God. That the child that could be the next Picasso is someone that bears the image of God. And that child might be born in a situation that we might view as a mistake. And if you're here today and your parents told you you were a mistake, see, I want to help you see the target for your own life, that you're not a mistake. God loves you, and you are created in the image of a God who's all-powerful and so creative and all-loving. And you bear His image. You're not a mistake. And for us to tell our kids that they're mistakes, or for us not to see the God potential, the DNA that is wrapped up in our kids, it eliminates us seeing the bullseye. But we got to first see that children bear the image of our God. And we also got to see that they're entrusted to us by God, that He puts them in our hand, that it's in the home that we give the picture of God. He puts them in our care. And you might not have a child in your hair, in your house, but you have the opportunity to influence a child in your life. And if you've got proximity, you've got influence, and you can make an impact. And they are there, and you need to see them. You need to view them with the potential and the DNA and in the image of God. And then children, another ring on the target is that children are blessings, not burdens. You know, being a young parent myself, my wife and I have a new respect for many of you have done this, and every one of you that have more than three kids, we our hats go off to you. And in this, you know, raising kids, it can be what I call brutal. It's beautiful and brutal at the same time, and it's all together everything. You know, as a newborn, you know, you got it, it's beautiful, you're loving, but 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., that's brutal. It's brutal when you got a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and an infant in the home. And you're doing the 2 a.m., 3 a.m., that's brutal. You know what's brutal? Is when you hear your friends say, hey, man, yeah, we went out to eat. You go, what was that like? Or we went to a movie. The last movie my wife and I saw was one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And it was a year before that we saw the previous movie in the theater. It's like, what's that like? It's a foreign language. It's on a screen? And then don't get me started with bedtime. You know, bedtime, you say, hey, man, time to go brush your teeth. And all of a sudden, my beautiful three kids, it's like the neighbors are calling and saying, what is going on over there? And I just ask them to go brush their teeth and get ready for bed. And my neighbors probably think we're coming after them, and we're like haunting them with arrows and all that. But, you know, don't. And then when you go out to eat, you know, it's like they're on great behavior, but as soon as you get in the restaurant, you get this opportunity. And it's like, whoa, you know, see, and then you think about the burden of it all. Think about, and then I'm not in this world yet. But I know that sometimes when our kids become teenagers, we lose sight of the blessing. See the burden. See the burden of the pain that they cause and the heartbreak they bring. See, here's the interesting thing about burdens and blessings, is they both carry weight, don't they? See, a burden carries weight, and sometimes we think they keep us from going places. You're like, you know, it costs more to pay the babysitter than it does for us to go on our own date. Such a burden. But you know what? That blessing is a weight too. It's the weight of responsibility that you and I have. And how we view children determines how we raise the children in our life. And when we see our kids as burdens, we lose sight of seeing them as blessings. And when we lose sight of this target, and not the target, but the bullseye, when we're not thinking about the bullseye, we see our kids as burdens. When we don't have the proper bullseye, we see our kids as burdens. But when our aim is focused on the bullseye, and like an archer, we see the bullseye, we see our kids as blessings. Look what Psalm says there. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward. They're blessings. And blessed is the man. That blessed is like happy, happy, happy. It's like that, it carries a lot. That word there is like a celebratory blessed. It's so joyous. It's so overwhelmingly happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. And some of your quivers, it might be full at one or two. Like mine might be full at three. I might break and cry. But some of you can do nine. Your quiver might be full at nine. For others, your quiver might be sharing the opportunity and the pleasure of influencing other kids. And that might be the quiver that you get, God allows you to have. See, we got to see them as blessings, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. You know what that is to a warrior? That is a blessing to that hunter. That's a blessing to that warrior. And then children, like, let's paint the target with this last one. Children, like arrows, are diverse and different, yet all have the same purpose. Now, some of the things that I've learned about bow hunting, because I really am not a hunter or a bow hunter. I used to hunt as a kid, but never bow. And I would say I'm really good, because I stayed in a Holiday Inn Express last night. Yeah, you should remember that commercial. Thank you. But I'm not. I'm not a hunter. But here's the unique thing that I've learned about bows. See, there's many different bows, and some of you might be young parents, and this is like your bow. It's simple. It's not as complex. You haven't learned as much. And then others of you, you might have grown up, and you have a bow that's a little more complex. You've got a little more years. You might be like me. This is kind of like an intermediate bow. And in this, I don't even know if I'm holding this. There we go. In this, you've learned a little more. Your kids might be 7, 10, 12. And then you get older and it's more complex. And you got different purposes. See, you might be a parent that is unique. You might have a certain niche as a parent. And you might raise your kids. See, you know, this is a cool bow because this is a fishing bow. Did you know you could fish with a bow? Neither did I. And you can set your sights on a fish, and man, this would just be fun to use. And it's got this little reel that you can crank it in. But like all bows, all arrows are different. And like a bow, see, every bow is different. And maybe you're like that and you have a unique thing, but maybe you're a grandparent and this is your bow. Because it's like complex for you. Look at this thing. I mean, that looks complicated. And you see how complicated life is. But you've got a lot more power and a lot more influence. And you can do it. But you know what all these bows share in common? Same thing every arrow shares in common. To hit the bullseye. To hit the bullseye. See, this was designed to shoot arrows. You and I were designed to shoot arrows. You and I were designed. And just like bows are different, guess what? Every one of us is an arrow, and every one of us is different. We have different tips. You know, they even make tips that spin, and while the arrow stays, or the tip stays straight, and the arrow inside spins, I couldn't believe that. But arrows are different. Our kids are different, and we don't raise our kids thinking that they gotta look alike. We don't raise our kids thinking that they gotta be the same, but we see the uniqueness of the creativity of our God and the differences, that they might be different colors, they might be different lengths. One might, like my daughter, she loves rainbows. And she loves Shopkins. And my son loves Transformers and Pokemon. And they might not like me. You might like baseball, but they might not like baseball. You might like football, but they might not like. And it's not about making it what you want them to be. It's about seeing the differences. And then seeing how you can use that in your hands like a warrior. See, all arrows are different. But all arrows share the same purpose. And that same purpose is to hit the bullseye. To hit the bullseye. So this is my question for you. What's your bullseye? What is your bullseye in life? What is it that you're aiming for? What is it that, because your kids are going to take the same trajectory that your life has taken. Regardless of what you think, you're going to influence that in some way or another. And I want you to see the power that you have to influence their life. And this is the aim that I feel like we as a church and as Christ followers and taking everything of Scripture and trying to reduce it down in one statement. And I might be wrong on this, but this is how I believe it. And I'm raising my kids this way. And I want you to raise your kids this way. To aim for this bullseye right here. And that's the teaching big idea. See, we aim to raise our children to know Jesus. Trust in Him and follow Him. What's my aim as a parent? My aim is not for them to have a good education. Because I parent at the edge of eternity. Eternity is what matters. There's a guy in my life group, and he was talking to our life group, and a couple of his guys, he goes, man, this I kind of reduce it down to what matters. He goes, this is how I see it. I see what matters. And this is what I want to think. What matters? And so everything, what really matters to me is that my kids know Jesus. Man, when everything's said and gone, I want my kids to know Jesus. And I want them to know that they can trust in Jesus. And I want them to follow Jesus. You know what that shapes? That shapes everything that I do. That shapes everything that I live for because I become the example and I set the trajectory that they are released towards. The Apostle Paul said it this way. But whatever regains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. For what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom sake I have lost all things. What's he saying? He goes, I am not setting my aim on other things. I am setting my aim on knowing Jesus. I consider everything else to set your aim for. He says, garbage. He didn't say it that way. He said, I consider them garbage. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith. That faith is through trust in Jesus. I want them to know Jesus. I want my kids, like Paul, to say, I know Jesus, and through faith I trust in Him, that He is my Lord, that He, Jesus, lived the perfect life that I couldn't live, that He, Jesus, died to set me free from the penalty of all my sins, that they may know Him. That I may know Him and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, not believing that in my own way I can be perfect, but I trust that His perfection is my righteousness. And that doesn't come from the law, but which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, aka by trusting in Him. And He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. What's He saying? I live at the edge of eternity. And one day, I know this body will die, but there is an eternity on the other side. And I want to know Jesus. I want your kids to know Jesus. I want every child in Leavenworth to know Jesus. They can trust in Him, and they can follow Him. And then look what Jesus says. See, Jesus said, our aim is seek first. Put your aim on His kingdom, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what's He say? All those things you're worried about, all those other things that you get worried about, and the reason you're worried about it because you're not trusting in Me. All those things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So right now, what are we going to do? We're going to aim. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God. And the way that I seek first is I know Jesus and I can trust in him. And when I trust in Jesus and I teach my kids to trust in Jesus, you know what it does? It reduces the worry in my life. And I can aim them. And they don't have to see me worried about finances. They don't have to see me worried about all these things. But in some of our homes, it's seek first the Chiefs football. Or seek first a great education. Seek first knowing Jesus, the kingdom of God. And then look what Joshua was an Old Testament character because he's a real guy. It's not like a character that we wrote into a story. It's real history here. Followed Moses. Moses was a prophet that illuminated the God to the nation of Israel by writing a law. And it was through this that Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses couldn't get to the promised land, a man named Joshua or Yeshua, which is interesting because Jesus is translated as Jesus and his original name was Yeshua in the Hebrew. And the Old Testament Joshua, Jesus is the New Testament Joshua. There's so much involved in that, we can't talk about it today. But the Old Testament Joshua said this. He was the one that led them into the promised land. And if you want to lead your children into the land of promise, for your kids, set your eyes and your aim on what he said. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. As he addresses the nation of Israel, he says, whether the gods of your ancestors served, the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods, the Amorites, in whose land you're living. Set your aim. Who are you going to serve? Put your aim on it. Just aim that way. But as for me, in my house, you've heard this maybe before, he says, as for me and my household, we will set our aim and we will serve the Lord. What's your aim? What's your aim? See, when our children are young, they do what we've told them. But when our children become older, they'll do what we've showed them. So what's your aim today? In your notes, it says, as for me and my house, blank. The band's going to come out and sing, and I want you to wait to fill that in because there are many of us that might need to repent today. And the way we're going to repent is we're going to look at this and we're going to say, you know what, me and my house, we've really served my career. Or me and my house, we've served getting an education. Or as me and my house, we will go to KU. Or as if for me and my house, we will go to an Ivy League school. Or as for me and my house, we will have a secure financial future because that's been our aim. Or as for me and my house, we will be popular. We're not going to be considered nerds and geeks. We'll be sports jocks, every one of us. That's my aim. See, whatever your aim has been, whatever your life has been raising, whatever your aim has been for it, and whatever you're kind of shaping your kids, maybe it's been the wrong aim. And today you need to say, as for me and my house, we have done this. We've served whatever, fill in the blank. But today, I'm repenting, and I'm taking the aim off that over there, and that's a good thing. Nobody would say that's a bad thing, but I'm going to put my aim right here. I'm going to draw it, because we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to know Jesus, we're going to trust in him, and we're going to follow Jesus. So what is it that you need to write in that blank today? What is it that you need to write in that blank? We're going to sing a song, and one of the verses in this song says, I could hold on to and never let you change me from the inside. Will you let go of what you've been aiming for and you say, God, I am so sorry. I want to put my aim back on you because I need to aim for that. And as they sing this song and they sing the verse that says, you have called me higher. You have called me deeper. I will go where you will lead me because I also am an arrow being sent. Will you think about that and write it in as we sing?